Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm in awe of, you know, what I'm reading in Ezekiel.
We're going to be reading in Ezekiel, and we're going to be reading in the book of Revelation. So I pray that you have had a blessed day. We greet you on the internet, whether you are in Panel Talk, whether you're in Blog Talk, whether you're on the internet in general, wherever you may be, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior, and our God and our Redeemer. Let us do our statement of faith. All right, let me have the ladies to cover their head, the men to uncover their head. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim.
Give me a hot second here.
All right. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise this afternoon. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah to you. Hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, Father. Hallelujah. We just want to glorify your name and lift you up and magnify. But truly, you are worthy, Elohim. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. We just love you today. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for first loving us. Glory to your name. Glory. 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 Glory to your name. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today, Father. We thank you for allowing us, Father, just to come before you and to lay ourselves out to serve you, Father. For truly, you are the only Elohim, and you are all that we desire. We just want to be pleasing in your eyes, Father. We want to bring you glory. Father, help your people. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Help us, for we are truly in need of your help. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, Actually, we're going to read something different today so I can sort of speed this up into what we're going to get into. We are going to be reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 7. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 7. Starting in verse 1. Moreover, the word of Yah came unto me, saying, also thou son of man, thus saith Yah Elohim unto the land of Israel, and end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come unto thee, and I will send my anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. And my eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and you shall know that I am Yah. Thus saith Yah Elohim, an evil, and only evil, behold, is come. An end is come, and the end is come too, and the end is come. It watches for thee, behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come, the day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountain. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish my anger upon thee. And I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. And my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee. And you shall know that I am Yah that smiteth. Behold the day. Behold, it is come. The morning is gone forth, and the rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. The time has come. The day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. For wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. And the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they were yet alive. For the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof, which shall not return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. They have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to the battle. For my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But they that escape of them shall escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves on the valley, all of them mourning, every one for his iniquity. All the hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon their heads. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Yah. They shall not satisfy their soul, neither feel their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the images of their abominations, of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I set it far from them. And I will give it unto the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall pollute it. My face will turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place. For the robber shall enter into it and make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crime, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to see, and their holy place shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of a prophet. But the law shall perish from the priest, and the counsel from the ancient. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their desert. And according to their deaths, I will judge them, and they shall know that I am Yah. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. We are dealing with, as I said, the Sabbath is to honor the Most High. And we're at the end of the Sabbath. It's time to go back to work, do the Father's work. And one of the things that the Father has shown me over the last couple of days, when dealing with us as a people, we know we are in trouble, but we are really in trouble. And our young men are in the street spilling the blood of their own brothers. Our sisters are in the street minching and twitching their hips and wearing, you know, stuff that just don't leave nothing to the imagination. The ones who say that they are in truth, when they hear truth, they really want to reject it. They want to be self-righteous. They want to feel like, hey, I'm doing all that I can, and the Most High just has to accept me. And he doesn't. So when I was reading in the book of Ezekiel, what we just read in chapter 7, the Most High said that the end had come, and he was ready to judge Israel. And after we have been sent into captivity, and we have been in slavery for so long, and we come out of the slavery and we still have not learned, we are into everything, and I mean everything, and we are blinded. And even those, as I said, so-called that have their eyes open, when the Most High says he's not playing, Israel thinks that the Most High is playing, and he's not. So when I read this account to you out of Ezekiel, because we just read, he says, I'm not going to have pity. But he said it twice in that chapter. But when we start reading in chapter 8, I want you to hear what his accusations were against our forefathers. And we are secretly doing these things today as a people. Because, see, the Most High, when he scattered us, he doesn't just look at us as the individual. And we know this. We are a scattered nation, and he's looking at us as a whole. And if we can't understand that individually, some of us might make it, including me, might make it. But the truth of the matter is, unless we don't have some type of spiritual revolution amongst our people, we are in trouble, period. So the Most High said, you know, one of the things that problem that Israel had, for whatever the reason, and I don't know why this is, but we really have a problem. I keep hating to hit on this. But without this, you're not getting in. If we don't get sealed by the Father, sealed by his Ruach, his Holy Spirit, he is not going to have pity. If we don't become sealed in him and follow him and worship him with our whole hearts, very, very few of us are going to make it. And so when I read this, and I'm reading how he's dealing with Ezekiel, you know, I'm going to take time to expound on this as I'm reading it, because the Most High told us, and what, you know, ever since I've seen this and I recognize this in the scripture and I'm reading, I'm like, what frame of mind was I reading this in before? What was the filter that I had put on the scripture? I know what filter it is, so let me stop. Because I wanted that loving and kind and forgiving Elohim like everybody else. I didn't want to feel like Elohim would just condemn you and not take account. But he is who he is, and he is sovereign. and he is merciful. I think the problem is that because we don't really deal with a king, and I can't speak for everybody around the world. I'm going to speak for those that are in the U.S. and those that are in governments that are free governments, where you elect your leaders. We have a misconception of what a king is, that he's sovereign, that his word is law, being a king. And if you get out of line, if you don't do what he says to do, he'd have you killed like snapping a finger, and it's nothing. And so we don't come at the Most High like he's a king. We come at him like he's a president of the United States or something. He's just ordinary, and he's not. The king of a country is a god of that country. He has the power of life and death in his mouth, in a gesture. I'm going to extend grace to you. I'm going to extend the scepter to you and give you grace. Or I'm going to give you a thumbs down, and somebody's going to kill you right now. We don't live in that right now, and I don't think we understand the full magnitude of our Elohim. And I don't think we really read. I don't think we really read and comprehend in the scriptures when he's angry. So let us go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 8. Because what we're going to read, I just wanted to pay a particular attention to, and what the people of Israel, our forefathers, are doing at this time. And what causes the Most High to say, an end has come before me. Because we as a people, even in our captivity, even if we have awakened, a lot of us still reading horoscopes. A lot of us are still into worshiping other gods. A lot of us are still, we're spilling blood, our own people's blood. He says, hey, if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. And we are actually spilling blood. Our young men in these big cities are out here just killing each other left and right. And so we as a people, we're in trouble. And we can't save everybody. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be able to reach out with sincerity, consistency to our people and make a call to them to repent, turn from their wicked ways, believe Elohim and fear him with trembling. When we don't fear him, we don't obey him. And then we think when we're ready to come to him, then he has to take us, and he don't. That's what the whole thing is. He doesn't have to do anything he don't want to do. So the fact that he has extended mercy, and the fact that he has extended grace, and the fact that he's extended salvation to us when he never had to do that, and the fact that we would not esteem it, that we would not treasure it. Truth of the matter is, most of us in the beginning, we spit on it. He accepted us, he cleaned us up, and then we still went back and did some stuff we knew was wrong, even after coming into the knowledge of the truth. So he's not happy. And as I read these scriptures, he's not playing. And I can't just say that enough. He's not playing. And we have to get it right. We have to get it right. So Ezekiel chapter 8, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the 50th day of the month, sat in my house. And the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of Yah Elohim fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire. Now, we've had this discussion already before, and I know you've been taught previously, that the Most High's appearance is as like fire, as like amber. Now, before, I brought this from Ezekiel chapter 2, when Ezekiel saw the Most High on top of the angels, riding on the angels, and he described him. Now, this is some time later, and he's telling you again that the Most High's appearance is as of amber, like fire. So we can, you know, the scriptures are consistent, and all we got to do is believe the witnesses. So he's seeing the Most High again, seeing him. His appearance as a fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my head. What did he just say? The Most High reached out with a hand and grabbed him by his hair and picked him up. Not by his shoulders, not up under his arms, grabbed a handful of hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate, which locks the toward the north, and where was the seat of judgment. Let me read that again. Where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy? And behold, the glory of Elohim of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. When we read Ezekiel chapter 1, and Ezekiel says he saw a whirlwind, and it was darting around like lightning. And then when it got close to him, he saw that it was angels. And on top of those angels was the Most High. And then he described the Most High for us. So he's telling us, this is the same thing I saw in the plain when I told you in Ezekiel chapter 2. He's been grabbed by the hair. He's been lifted up above the earth. And behold, the glory of Elohim of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north. And behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. So whatever this is that's in this entrance, the Most High don't like it. And the people have set it up there. And it brings the Most High to jealousy. And he said, furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, I should go far off from my sanctuary. They were doing things that the Most High said, you know what? I can't be in this sanctuary. I got to go far off from this sanctuary, the one that you guys have built for me. And you're doing things in my sanctuary that are abominable. That's heavy. So let's see some of the things. Verse 6 again. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Now I believe the Most High showed him a spiritual door that he could go through and see what they were doing in the temple. This door didn't actually exist in the temple that he walked through. It was a spiritual door. And he's entering in through the spiritual realm. And he's looking, going to be looking at what the children of Israel are doing, the elders are doing, the high priests are doing in the dark. And how we, in the imaginations of our hearts, want to worship Elohim, how we think we want to worship him and tie his name to it. You know, if somebody can take their congregation to a strip club and have Passover, I don't put anything past our people. We just don't know. We ain't hearing about it. But we are wicked, doing stuff that I probably can't even imagine. But it wouldn't surprise me. Because without conversion, without being sealed by the Ruach HaKodesh, we are really just carnal, doing what we think is right in our own mind. And we hear something that sounds good, and we want to tie the Most High to it. Oh, I think I'll do this. It sounds good. I think I'll go in this strip club, take the Bible in there, and while my eyes are getting full of flesh, I'm going to call myself talking to somebody about the scriptures, like they really want to hear about the scriptures. You know that's a lie from the pit of hell. Using the word of God to go do wickedness and saying that they're testifying. When people are doing their dirt, unless the Most High specifically sends you in there and says, there's one I'm looking for in here. They're not supposed to be here. That ain't going to be, you know, I can see him telling you that one time. But that's not going to be an everyday, every week occurrence. You're not going to be frequenting these places. So if we can do that, I have no doubt we are doing things that are just unimaginable. We are worshiping things that are unimaginable. And we're not telling people. We're doing it in the dark, in the land of our captivity, where we have freedom to worship whatever we want to. You know that people are mixing everything. The pagan holidays, when they tie them to the Most High, it's just the same thing. I'm going to worship on a pagan holiday that I know is tied to another deity, and I'm going to try to include Yah, the Most High Elohim, in it. So I hope we can see these things when we're reading it, because we're doing some wicked things. Let's continue. Verse 9, and he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and I saw and behold every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall around about. So all the things that the Most High told them to stay away from. That's why, you know, our people really have to understand that the dietary laws are real. They are real. And the Most High has declared some things to be unclean because he don't want them around him. And if you partake in them, you're bringing them around him. And so he said, I'm seeing these abominable things and creeping things. Anything that is creeping that the Most High has said is abominable, we're not even supposed to touch it, much less eat it. And so he's seeing this, and he said, this is portrayed on the wall in the temple. So he's got to be in their quarters somewhere. And they are burning incense to these things. They are praising them. How are you going to be a priest of the Most High in his temple and do this. So watch how mad he is. Verse 10, and I'm just going to read. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel were traded upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. So they are secretly worshiping these abominations. And see, we don't know what our people are really doing in the dark. We don't know just how great the spiritual battle that we are up against. Because if you are not converted, if you are not sealed, you are subject to do whatever will come to your imagination and justify yourself in doing it. And so our forefathers were worshiping and burning incense to all these abominable things. And these were the elders. These were the ancient ones, the old ones in Israel. We know a lot of our brothers today who call themselves to be in truth. A lot of the churches who say that they're worshiping the Most High Elohim, we know that they are not worshiping him. They are doing things like it's okay to read the horoscope. It's okay to be into astrology. It's okay to call 1-800 psychic. It's okay to be at the house of the Most High. And you're really not worshiping him. You're worshiping something else. An Elohim that you have made up in your mind. And so we as his people, and he's showing me, we are still in this place today. Just making things up. And some of them know that these things are abominable and still doing them. You know, I'm going to put it like this. You have a cook-off, or not a cook-off. You have a potluck dinner for the church. And everybody's bringing their own kind of dish. You got to know somebody's going to bring something unclean if they don't practice eating clean. Abomination. And then saying that the Most High will accept it. It's all good. No. Because people come by, that looks so good. Praising it and all this kind of stuff. I can't wait to get some of that sister. But the Most High don't want this stuff around him from anybody. So our ancestors, they actually put up statues or drawings or something. It was portrayed on the wall. Whether it was a picture, some engraving, whatever it was, and then they were also burning incense to it. Let's continue. Verse 12. Then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imaginary, in the chambers of his imagination, where they say, Yah seeth us not. And Yah has forsaken the earth. How many people do you really believe, or do you think really believe, that the Most High really is? How many people do you think are religious, but really don't believe that the Most High really is? In their minds, in their thoughts, in their imagination, he don't really exist. There is no fear of him because they really don't believe. So whatever they can imagine in their mind is their God. And if they are into nature, or if they're into man can is the answer for man. If they're into the stars or the psychology of things, they will carnalize the Most High, and he's just a figment of their imagination. So they can make whatever they want to be Elohim, whatever we might come up with. You know, this is what I think. Oh, this is how I feel. I've talked to too many people that say stuff like this. And then they will say that they believe in the Most High Elohim. But truthfully, they really don't. They'll make up and come up with their own standard of what is acceptable behavior, their own standard of what is morally right or morally wrong, based upon what has been done to them or they think should be done, and not based upon the standards of the Most High. So in their imagination, they invent their own Elohim. And that is what they worship. Craziness. Let's continue. Let me speed this up. I'm going to read verse 12. Let's just keep reading. I don't know. I'm kind of upset right now. I don't know why. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery or his imagination, where they say, Yah seeth us not, Yah has forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. Then he brought me into the door of the gate of Yah's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat a woman weeping for Tammuz, another god, at the door of the temple of the Most High. And she's weeping for this other god. And the Most High says, see what, that's a greater abomination that she's doing than what they were doing. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, that thou shalt see greater abomination than thee. And he brought me into the inner court of Yah's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of Yah, between the porch and the altar, were the 25 men with their backs toward the temple of Yah and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Now, they are in the house of the Most High. They have their back to the altar, turn their back on Yah to worship the sun. And there are many people today who are into this sun worship. And they do it secretly. And so you never know what people are actually praying for and who they're actually praying to. It's kind of this upsets and it amazes me that people would even have the gall to do something like that. How disrespectful. How inconsiderate. How unfearful. They can do that stuff because they didn't really fear the Most High Elohim, and they didn't even think he existed, and they're in his temple. So how many of us are in the church or in the camps We're really there for a social meeting. It ain't about the Most High Elohim, because when we leave, we're going about doing our own dirt continuously. And then come back in the next week or the next meeting and say, glory to the Most High Elohim. But our hearts are far from him. Worshiping something else. That's why when I was in New York and I was talking to my roommate, who happened to be my landlord, and we were talking. He was saying he's speaking to people about God. And I said, what God? He says, my only God I know is the God of creation. I said, but that's not the definition everybody put to it. So when they're in agreeing with you, you got to understand that they may not be talking about the same God you're talking about. If you happen to be talking to a Satanist and you say, my God, and he says, my God, we ain't talking about the same thing. We ain't talking about the same individual. And that term God is so generic that it's whatever people make it. So we have to be very clear about who it is that we're worshiping. That's why I call him by his name. Then you don't have no doubt as to who I'm talking about. If I say Lord, Lord is a master, a teacher, the Lord. Well, we're saying, oh, we have recognized that as the Most High God. But that's like the term God. What is his name? He said, call me by my name. Then there's no doubt as to who we're talking about. Who is the subject of this conversation? So this woman is at the door of the temple. Not crying for Elohim, but crying for Tammuz. Got to be some kind of confusion. How do you come to the door of one God and cry for another God? Unless you are really, something's wrong, you're confused. Or maybe somebody told her that this is the temple of Tammuz. I don't know, but the Most High ain't happy with it, wasn't happy with it. Said this was greater than the abominations that the elders were doing, burning incense, see all these abominable things. This is worse than the people turning their back on the Most High. All of these things are bad. And this is where Israel had sunk to. Now we wake up out of captivity. When we get told that we're some people, then we read the book and we halfway adopt the statute, laws, and commandments. And we don't develop any kind of real fear for the Most High Elohim. Because we're still doing crazy stuff. We're still walking according to our own understanding. And having no real fear of him. Because he says, if you really feared me, you wouldn't be doing this stuff. If you knew what I was going to do to you, if you really knew, you wouldn't be doing this. You would have some type of fear in you. So here's where our ancestors were. Doing all kind of abominations, even in the house of the Most High. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a like thing, the house of Judah, that they commit the abominations which they commit here? Is this a like thing? Look at what they're doing. Have you seen them? Is this something that ain't so serious? Is this something that they think that I can just look past? Is this a light thing? He's asking them a question. It's not a light thing. For they have filled the land with violence. And this is why I'm bringing up our young men in the gang, out there in the street, chasing after money and fame and wealth, position in the street, all this temporal stuff that's going to send them straight to the lake, not being focused on the Most High, because they are committing violence against each other and their brothers. He says, they're filling the land with blood amongst our own people. You go look at the news, you look up Chicago or you look up any of the big cities, and, you know, in some of them, it really had been going crazy. 50 and 60, 70 people getting shot a night. And see, we don't cry out about that. But as soon as a white cop shoots one of us, then we're all up and roar. We're in an uproar. But when we're doing violence to ourselves, we are silent. And Yah says, this is abomination amongst us. Our people have gone over the edge. And the only fix for us is the Most High Elohim. The laws can't fix us because the laws are for the lawful. And truly, you look at it, they're breaking the law. Both spiritual and natural. So you can't fix it with the law. They need to have a conversion. They need to have a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of spirituality. They need to be introduced to the one and only true Elohim. Because the gods that they are serving now, we'll let them do whatever they want to do. Matter of fact, they have chosen gods that allow them to do whatever they want to do. And then say, God bless you. But they ain't talking about the Most High Elohim. Trust me, they're not talking about him. Because the Most High Elohim ain't sanctioning none of that. Our young women out here walking the streets. If they're not walking the streets, they're just sleeping around. Praying to who do you know they're praying to? Say they're praying to Yah, and really not. So nothing has changed. Matter of fact, we are in the land of our captivity, and we are just worse. Like we came out of slavery and picked up right where they left off. Not even two generations or three out of slavery. Maybe three. I don't think so, though. Picked up right where our forefathers left off. Same thing that we got kicked out of the land for. We just ain't doing it in the land of Israel. We're doing it in the land of our captivity. And then wonder why they're looking at us like how they're looking at us. So we are in trouble. Let's continue. Therefore will I also, no, verse 17. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing, the house of Judah, that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. I'm still asking the Most High, what does that actually mean? I know they're smelling something, but I'm not really, he's got to reveal that last part to me. I have to be honest with you. I don't really know what that means, what it relates to. But it's not good. Therefore, I will also deal in fury, and my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. Now, the Most High says he's not going to have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Israel wants to know why we continue to keep going through what we're going through. Because we continually still doing these abominations and thinking that the Most High is going to hear our prayers. The ones of us that have come out and that are truly seeking him and are truly fearing him, he will hear your prayer. He will come to your aid. But as the priest of the Most High, we cannot be satisfied with that. It can't just be about us or else we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We can't be comfortable where we are at and then say we love our brother and our sister and we see them in their mess. And Yah Elohim is angry. He's still angry today. He was angry with our forefathers, but he's still angry today. And you know what? As many as he should call and say, that's who we're after. Because he's not going to have pity on anyone that is not sealed with his spirit. This is not something that each one of us that we want to face, that we want to go through the motion. Because what we're about to read in this next chapter and in the Revelation, I want us to understand that you can be in the house of the Most High. This is where all these people were at. And you can be doing just as wrong as you want to be, as you want to do. And you can be claiming that I don't want to go to the lake and still be doing the things to send you to the lake. We don't want to be like the ancient ones. We don't want to read this and don't come out of it. Ezekiel chapter 9. Starting in verse 1. Now listen to what Ezekiel said. Number one, how did the Most High pick Ezekiel up? By the hair of his head? Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east. Look to the west. Look what they do. But he's got him by the hair of his head. He's not playing, and he's chapter 9. He cried in my ears, how? With a loud voice. What is Ezekiel actually saying? The Most High hollered at him. He's hollering at him. Got him by the hair of his head. And now he's hollering at him. Saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, and with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was. So the Most High left from on top of the cherub to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And Yah Elohim said unto him, go through the midst or the middle of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. These men see the abominations of what the people are doing, and they are crying out against it. He says, now go seal them. Put a mark in their head. Why? Put a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh, that cry for all the abominations that have done in the midst thereof. And to the others, these other men that came with their killing, with the slaughter weapons, go ye after him through the city. Go behind him and smite, kill. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before. Where does judgment start? At the house of the Most High. You say you belong to him? And if you are not sealed, if you are not marked, and let's stop there for a minute. Let's go get a verse. Because I don't want people to assume anything here. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 1. No, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. It says it better here. Ephesians chapter 4. Now let's get verse 30. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Elohim, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The same mark, this is going to say that these men were sealed. What did this mark represent? The Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High. The ones who had his heart. So now let's go back to Ezekiel. Verse 6 again. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And began at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the flame. Go ye. And they went forth and slew the city. And it came to pass while they were slain, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Yah Elohim, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness, where they say, Yah has forsaken the earth, and Yah seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare. Moses says, his eyes shall not spare. Neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So he finished sealing, marking all the men that cried out against these abominations, that didn't just go along with the status quo, who understood and had a genuine fear of the Most High Elohim. He marked them, and everybody else was killed. And the Most High says, I'm not going to have any pity if I don't find you not marked or sealed. When he comes this next time, when he sends judgment, if we are not sealed, don't think that the ones that he sends to do the killing are going to go by you. Why are you not crying out against the abomination that we see the children of Israel doing? Are we just shaking the head? Are we just pointing fingers? Are we saying nothing? How can we love the Most High Elohim and not speak out against our people doing these abominations? Abominations that we know they are doing. Well, that's their business. But if Yah Elohim looks down upon you in your life and he don't hear you speaking out like these men, he says, go mark the men who are crying out against these abominations. Mark them, seal them. And everybody that ain't marked, kill them. Don't matter if it's a man or a woman or a child, a virgin. They were going along with the status quo. So we have to see the condition of our people. We have to see the conditions of ourselves. If we are being apathetic, if we are sitting on our hands, if we are not opening our mouths, if we're not crying out against the abomination, if judgment comes now, and he says, so start with the house, start at my sanctuary, start at my house. So we might be the first to go. Thinking we all snug and secure, but we not speaking out. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. The book of Revelation, chapter 7. Now, this is end time in Revelation chapter 7. And I believe the 100 that are, we're about to read about that are sealed. These are sealed for a special mission for the Most High. But this is his entourage. But they're sealed for to be a witness to Israel. And so there's a time coming when he's going to select 144,000. I can't be one of those 144,000 because I'm not a virgin. And all these brothers out here who sleeping around with all these women are thinking that they're going to be picked for that 144,000 and for a rude awakening. So before we start this, listen to this record, and I'll be right back. Listen to this song.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's time to get into formation, we gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters, we gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you, them preachers, they got it confused. Come out of her, cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's your combat. Hey, hey. Lace up them boots. We gotta move, step mode, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise, open your eyes to the most high in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's 7:10. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness.
All right. You are in a spiritual, we're in a spiritual battle. And it's important because we need to see that the Most High always seals his. He seals his servants. He seals his people. And once you're sealed, you, as we read this morning, you don't fear nobody or anything. You know that the Most High is with you, and you know you are sealed. You have his protection. The mayhem and the killing and all that stuff, the judgment that is about to come, will go over you. So let's look and read Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And when I taught this, I told you that this is literal. The weather, they're already talking about global warming. But the Most High is going to cause catastrophe to come on this planet that we ain't never seen the likes of. So he says, now I'm causing the wind not to blow on the earth. And I saw another angel ascend from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim, the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their forehead. The same thing that we just read in Ezekiel. So if you are not sealed, then whatever comes upon the earth will also take you. You will not be exempt from it. And the Most High is not going to have pity because, oh, I was in prayer to you every day, but I never submitted to you. Yeah, I paid my tithes faithfully, and I went to church or the camp or the Bible study faithfully, but I never submitted to you, and I never let you seal me. Critical, because anybody that is not sealed, the Most High is not going to have pity. He's not going to look at your situation and say, oh, but not you. He don't care whether you are a woman or whether you're a child. Once he starts to bring judgment, he don't care. I am coming to judge, and if you are not sealed, my judgment is going to fall on you. And I'm not going to be crying and boo-hooing. I'm not going to be listening to cries and boo-hoos from people either. I'm not going to have pity. So we have to understand that. And we have to know that while he is yet still filling people with his spirit, because we read in Ephesians, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. something that don't take for granted. Know that you know that you know that you know. Because we do not want to have judgment come and turn around and half of us are dead from the judgment. Can you hear this word and not do it? The people worried about all these other things, all this stuff, it's nice to know, but it won't save you from the wrath of the Most High. So what if you understand everything about the universe won't matter if you never got sealed by the Ruach HaKodesh? When the Most High sent judgment amongst our fathers, our forefathers, everybody that was his, he marked, he sealed them. Killed everybody else. Had them sent into slavery. Chased by the sword, the women ravished, cut out of their womb if they were pregnant. When he has had enough, he has had enough. And he don't play. And he's telling us in his word. So start at my house. Start with my people. But see, that's another thing Israel doesn't look at. When he comes back and he says, I'm going to gather you from all of the nations, out of all of the nations that I sent you to. Then he says, and all the rebellious ones, I'm going to kill in the wilderness. So all those who don't know that they are Hebrew Israelites, that don't know that they are his people scattered, it don't matter if they don't know. Yah knows who you are. Yah knows who they are. And he's going to gather them all, and they're going to have to go through the test. And the test is going to be, were you keeping my statutes, my laws, and my commandments? Were you fearing me? Were you doing these abominable things? He says, out of all the people that he gathers of Israel, a third are going to make it. Two-thirds ain't going to make it. And it don't matter if they don't know. Ignorance is not bliss. Now, if they threw the church or through the camp, if they really, truly worship the Most High, they got filled with his Ruach HaKodesh, he's going to recognize them. You belong to me. You come over here on my right hand. You go on the left side. Everybody on the left side, feel them. In the wilderness, everybody that don't go up under the rod, and he's only going to allow those to go up under the rod that are his. So it's imperative that we understand that this is how the Most High operates. And he's not coming and checking and saying, oh, you were a little faithful. If you don't get sealed, it ain't gonna matter. I don't care who you are. He's not a respecter of person. So just as he said, I will not have pity on those that were in Israel that were doing the abominable things, who were worshiping the sun, who were crying out to other gods, who were doing just crazy stuff. And didn't believe that he was real. So because they didn't really believe that he was real, they, you know, even doing nothing is abominable to the Most High, because you didn't even choose a side. I don't like people who are lukewarm. I shall spew you out of my nostrils. Yeah, I didn't know what side to pick, so I didn't pick a side. Oh yes, you did. And now you weren't sealed and you didn't pick a side, so guess what? The judgment falls upon you. Main thing out of this precept that I want you to understand, don't put yourself in the position where you think the Most High has to have pity on you, because he said he's not. When I come in judgment, I don't have pity. I'm judging now. And I don't care what your sex is. I don't care what your age is. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how long you've been supposedly worshiping me. If you didn't do what I said to do, and I don't steal you, you don't belong to me. Great wickedness amongst our people. And as I said, looking at us as a people, we are into any and everything. Lost. And if y'all were to come back right now, the pickings truly would be scarce. That remnant would really be a small number. As we look at, all we got to do is look at our family, look at what our people are doing. Look at how most of our men are whoremongers. They're just walking around, running around. It don't matter if it's not even with our own women. They're trying to sleep with everything. Black, white, Puerto Rican. Everybody just a freaking. But even amongst our own women, it is not good. And we can't both be pointing at each other and saying, you at fault. You the one wrong. It's your fault we this way. It's your fault we this way. We have to come to the understanding that we are both at fault. We have both committed wickedness. And we can't be pointing one toward the other talking about, it's your fault. No. So Yah is saying, cry out against these abominations. How can we see these things and say nothing? And as we read in Ezekiel, the ones that he chose were those that saw it and were crying against it. Look at how they, what they do. Look at how they disrespect the Most High. Look at what they're doing in their secret places, in the dark. You know, people going to talk. You doing something, somebody know. If you going to tell somebody, somebody going to happen up on it. Whatever the case may be. And if we know these things are going on and we are not speaking out about them and expect that Yah is going to seal us because we were apathetic, we were without feeling toward him in this thing, that we might be in for a rude awakening ourselves. continue to read. What is my time here? Yeah, let's read. Verse 4. So we see in verse 3, he told them not to hurt the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their foreheads as representative of being sealed with the Spirit of the Most High. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000, all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, as I said, I hope this is not all of Israel that just gets saved. To think about 144,000 out of millions, and over time, billions. If this is all that gets saved out of Israel, as some people believe, then we truly are hurting and in a bad place. Really, 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 really. 144,000 out of millions. Right now in the U.S. alone, I think our population is about 13 or 14, 15 million. Maybe higher than that. Maybe 30. Tenth of the population, about 30 million. 144,000 out of 30 million. Put that in perspective. That's not even a million out of 30 million. It's less than a million, less than 500,000, less than 200,000, less than 150,000 out of 30 million. So if these brothers really believe that and can't understand that this is the Most High, this is Messiah's, this is his entourage. They go wherever he goes. And their mission is to, in the last days, offer the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, all those who didn't convert, their last call. If you're not amongst this 144,000 and you say you're Israel, then you better be trying to come in now. If you are a woman, because none of these are women, then you better be trying to come in now. If you are a man and you've been with a woman, you better be trying to come in now. You better be trying to get into the number now. Because you may not qualify for that 12,000 or that 144,000 that are sealed in the last days. Let's read. And I don't want to read the 12,000 from each of the tribes because we know that. So let's drop down. Okay, I thought, all right, it must be in chapter 12 or another chapter where it tells that these are his entourage. These are they that go after the lamb and they don't know, have not known a woman. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. The book of Revelation chapter 9. And let's read verses 1 through 5, I believe. Actually, 4. Now, this is the angels sounding their alarm, sounding the trumpet. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts. Now, we talked about this before. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of Elohim in their forehead. So when these creatures come out of the bottomless pit, as I've taught you in previous lessons, they're going to have power over men for 6 months. They bite you, you're going to be sick for 6 months, and in that 6 months, you're going to wish to die and won't die, can't die. The Most High ain't going to let you die. But if you are sealed by the Most High Elohim, these creatures won't mess with you. They won't have no power over you. If you are not sealed, these things ain't going to have no pity on you either. They're going to be everywhere, but where you're at, if you're sealed. They come into your house. You've had a hard-headed husband or a hard-headed wife or hard-headed children, and they wouldn't submit themselves to the Most High. They ain't going to mess with you, but they're going to get them. Because the Most High ain't going to have no pity. He's not going to say, don't touch their spouse because they're sealed. Don't touch their spouse. Don't touch their children because this one is sealed. No, they're not sealed. Most High says, I'm not a respecter of person. He means that. So it's important that we teach our children to fear Yah, to seek the infilling of his spirit, to seek being sealed. If you don't want to see them hurt, you ain't got to worry about what Antichrist does. Because if Antichrist don't get them, and they're not sealed, the Most High is going to get them. Matter of fact, if they're not sealed, more than likely they're going to be following Antichrist. And that's why these things are going to be coming after them. So the Most High is not going to have pity on the unsealed. And we as his people, you know, I want us to heal. The Most High wants us to heal to whosoever will, who are ready and able to listen to truth, who are ready to bring themselves to him and turn themselves over to him wholly, not give a piece of themselves, because he don't want a piece. Everything he says, I want your whole heart. When you seek me with your whole heart, when you give me your all, that's who I'm looking for. So we have to teach our young people. We have to reach out to them. We have to teach and reach out to the old, to all of our people, call them to true repentance. And don't worry about hurting their feelings, because it's better to hurt their feelings than for them to end up unmarked, unsealed. So I've had so many people tell me, be careful, be careful, be careful for what? I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm telling you this because the Most High wants you to know. He's going to hold you accountable for it. You won't be able to say, you didn't know. You never heard. And if you choose not to turn yourself over to him, then your blood won't be on my hand. Because I was afraid of offending you. Because I was afraid of convicting you. Because I was calling you to truly fear the Most High Elohim. I'm not worried about your feelings. Anybody's feelings. If I don't say this, the Most High is going to get me. And I don't want him after me. Not like that. But I've heard so many people, oh, you're condemning us. No, I'm bringing you into truth that you might have a chance to repent before the Most High. don't happen, he's not going to have pity. And we can say, oh, but I'm just a woman, or oh, I'm just a child, or oh, I'm just a teenager, or oh, this is just a baby. What did the Most High tell them to do? And you have to take that up with him. Kill women, kill baby, kill children, kill everybody that don't have the mark. Because I've already seen, if they are influenced by this generation, this is how they're going to turn out. You got to take that up with him. Because see, some people will say, well, I can't serve a God like that. Okay, so you can't. You think that's any sweat off of his face or his knuckles if he sweats? None. It's time to be real. It's time for all the games to stop. And if you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and you are not speaking out, I would be worried too. So let us bow our heads. Father, yes. We come before you, committing ourselves to your way and to your will. Father, we don't want to be unsealed. We don't want to be unprotected. We don't want to have to walk in fear of your judgment. We walk in fear of you. But you say that if we obey you and if we tremble at your word, we don't have to really worry about you coming against us. You said we belong to you and that you would take care of us because we understand. Not only do we understand, we are doing. They said, don't worship me with your lips only. And your heart is far from me. And you don't do what I tell you to do. I didn't tell you to sit on that couch. Father, we just want to do the right thing. We want to be in your presence. We want to make it into your kingdom. We understand that you are an austere man. That you are rough, that you do terrible things. And from your love, you offered us salvation. And from your love, you had mercy on us. And from your love, you extended grace to us. And many of us had not respect to it. And many of us had to repent for having not respect of your salvation that you provide. Father, be with us. If it's any of us that is not sealed, Father, I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name that they ask you, that they desire it, and that they won't let their pride keep them from asking you to fill them with your spirit, as you have said. If we being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, unto them that ask him? Yah wants to know that you want him, that you don't just say it, but you don't let him know that you really want him. If you really want him, why didn't you just ask? I mean, the scriptures are pretty simple and pretty straightforward. So, Father, strengthen their resolve. Let them see that we are in the last days. And you have not revealed to anyone exactly when those last days are going to end. But we can look at the sign of the time. We can look at the sign. And we can see that man is continually becoming more and more evil and more wicked. And that the nations are coming together to decide who's going to live and who's not going to live in their world. A world of have and have not. A world of every move that you make is going to be controlled. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, what you say. See, the enemy is not omnipresent like you, Most High Elohim. And he will use the devices of men to gain control over this planet. And you have already told us, if you don't cut those days short, he will destroy all flesh on this planet. So, Father, we just want to be your willing soldiers. Seal us with your spirit. Give us protection from your wrath. Unction us to do what it is that you will. Give us one mind and one heart that we might work as a unit to accomplish what it is that you have called us to do. Let us not become envious. But wherever you set us at in the body, Father, we will work with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul to serve you and to please you. So when we realize that the material things in this world don't matter, you have said it this way, Father. What does it matter if the man gains the whole world and loses his soul? So, Father, help us. You have said that you would stop us from sinning, that we might be blessed. Help us. Help us to be a light to the children of Israel and to the world. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, we will be doing spiritual wellness. And we are dealing with the things that Israel is really bothered by. And I know that I've been on the women, and perhaps we can only do what Yah gives us to do. Tomorrow we will be on whoremongers, our brothers that think that they can just run around and sleep with any and everybody. That encourage this behavior. Because we understand that this is a spirit that also came out of slavery. The men taught to either sleep with the women and they were moved away and they weren't responsible, or they were just put out in the field, given a wife, and then she didn't really have to, she couldn't respect him. She really had to be in fear for him, because if he had an unrighteous master, he'd just walk in on him. Lulabelle, come here, in front of him. And maybe that's why a lot of them are running around angry. Maybe that's why they're sleeping with women from all other races, trying to get back. But the truth of the matter is, that don't fix the situation, and it doesn't give you your sanity, your integrity back. So as men, we have to understand that we have to line up with the word of the Most High. That we have to change the way we look at our women and all women. Because we have the spirit on us that will keep us out of the kingdom. I don't care how much word you read. So we will be dealing with whoremongering tomorrow morning. And I pray that the brothers, women, if you have men, have them to come. This is not to, as I said, this is to the healing of the people. We got to recognize we got a problem. We have to deal with these problems. And as I said, it's not to point fingers, because this is a byproduct of the discipline, the punishment that Most High put us on. But when we came out of the slave, we were doing this stuff before we went into slavery. But when we came out of slavery, we didn't stop. We didn't say, hey, let's get right with the Most High Elohim. So we had men teaching young men, their sons, by example, this is what you and how you treat a woman. So we want to deal with this thing in the morning. Any man that you know, invite him. If it's your husband, invite him. If it's your son, invite him. Because this is one of the worst spirits, as I said, the spirit of lust, the sexual spirit, seems to just envelop us as a people. And it's on both men and women. But tomorrow, let's deal with the men. Those that want to feel like, hey, I can just sleep with anybody I want. Or I can just run around and make children and don't have no moral or financial responsibility. As the head of the house, we have got to come out of that. So invite them. I pray that you show up. Because we need to start dealing with these issues, the sexual abuse, the drug abuse, spirit of whoredom. Yah is not going to let any of us in who are practicing these things. And as a people, can't just say, oh, you did it. Just ask the Most High to forgive you. Because this is what we do. We do our dirt. And the Most High is going to have to forgive me for that. But we know that is not true. We walked in that ignorance at one time. We need to also bring them out of the ignorance. That is not the Elohim of heaven and earth. That is not the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's not the Elohim of the Bible. That might be the Christian Elohim, and I'm saying that in a way that is, I never want us to put a negative connotation on Christianity, because the truth of the matter is, if you follow Christ, you follow Messiah, if you truly are following him and keeping his statutes and laws and commandments, you are a Christian by English terms. But if you are not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments, and that you can just go and sin and say, I'm sorry, you're not following Messiah, and you're not a Christian. You're a Christian in name only, but you're not a true Christian. Because a true Christian is going to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Because they understand that they keep it because of Messiah. If they read the book correctly. We want to be good Christians. We want to be good Messianic. We want to be good followers of the Most High Elohim, period. So if you know a brother, whether he's your son, whether he's your cousin, whether he's your uncle, invite him tomorrow. Just have him sit in. Whoredom has to be dealt with. And as I said, it don't have to be all about our Hebrew sisters, because brothers, if it moves, these brothers trying to stick it. And that's the truth of the matter. And they got to come out of that. And they don't like it. Don't matter if they like it or not. We need to start dealing with it. We are of the Melchizedek priesthood. And if you say that you are of Melchizedek priesthood as a priest, you are not allowed to have multiple wives. You're not allowed to run around and sleep with any and everything. Even if the scripture shows that you would be permitted to up under the old system, under the new system, you are not allowed to do that. So we got brothers out there that are wanting to do these things. Some of them doing these things. Some of them pastoring churches and saying, scripture says that a bishop can only be the husband of one wife. A deacon can only be the husband of one wife, but somehow the pastor can have two or three. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I won't call myself a pastor. So, are you performing the duty? Do you have somebody following you? Are you saying that you're looking out for their well-being? Then you are pastoring whether you call yourself one or not. See, we try to play these sly and slick little games with the Most High, but he ain't playing those games. Oh, so we won't use the title bishop. And we won't use the title church. We'll call it a camp. Huh? Did you just change something? Do you think that you are getting by the Most High? Do you think being slick and not saying, oh, well, I don't have that title, so it don't apply to me? We are stupid. And we are wicked. So invite them. If you know the brother wants to do good, then we want to put them on the correct path. And if they say they got a problem, then all they got to do is bring themselves under subjection. Be accountable. Brother, how you doing? I'm doing fine. And, you know, how are you doing? Are you still chasing? Well, you know. No, we don't want to be held accountable. So tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, Central Standard Time. If I'm here by myself, I'll just be here by myself. But it's time that we start addressing these things. And women, if you come, don't come to point the finger, because we are all guilty at some point in some kind of way. We want to deal with these things from the standpoint of healing and not blaming. That being said, Father Yah, encamp your angels around your people. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again at the appointed time. Remember, I love you, but Yah loves you more. Shalom.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a